It is Dukes and Bell. We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Mike, we were just chopping it up with our listeners, Monique and her sister, and then a nice couple at the bar who was actually at practice today.
Yeah, man. Blake and Katie, they live up the street up there by Chateau Alain, and they're big listeners and big Falcon fans. They were getting the big kick out of the story you were relating earlier, where just yesterday, D-Led goes, Drake Lunn is leaving money on the field with all these drops. Ball security, hashtag ball security. And then, of course, today when he makes this big catch, comes right in front of the media and goes, yeah, report that blank, D-Led. Which they were laughing at, and it was great.
It's the best. It's the
best. Look, Drake, and we, there's a video, and I reposted it. The Falcons put it up there. Yeah, I mean, it's like those old school NFL films where the ball is in the air for like 20 minutes. But it's that super tight spiral, and I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to watch. And it's Michael Penix Jr. with a perfect spiral, and Drake London catching it in stride. And just, we're going to see a lot of that, as Wes Drewham said last year, working 9 to 5.
Yeah, it's a perfect way to, you know, talk about that connection between those two guys, and we hope we see a lot of it. And then, you know, eventually what happens, Mike, is they're catching touchdowns that much, then you start to see the signs, 9 to 5 in the stands, and people will start to jump on, and you'll hear it on the national broadcast as well, because there could be something special there. If you're just joining us, giving you a lot of impressions of what we got from practice today, first full pad workout, and if you're going, well, were the pads popping? They were. You're not trying to hurt your teammates, guys, but you do want to get some good work in, and I thought they did. But again, you know, Mike, when they went down to the red zone, one example, you know, Michael Penix, nice throw to Ray McLeod. I think he makes a nice catch, you know, literally like a diving on the ground kind of catch, because that was the only place Michael could put the ball. But that's the thing, man. I want to see more. We say this every year. More red zone production.
Right, and I want to see Bijan down the field as part of the vertical passing game. He can do it. Bijan can make all the catches the wide receivers can make. We talked about that wheel route and that touchdown where he just basically ran away from the Saints in that last game of Arthur Smith's tenure. But this is one where you saw today. There was I saw two plays, one where Bijan releases going down the field, one where he's actually set out wide. It's something you and I talked about with Day-Day the other day. All these different imaginative play calls that, well, we didn't really see at times last year. A little more imagination. As we learned from watching quarterback on Showtime, Kirk Cousins really does struggle with some of the pre-snap motion, which I can't believe. Probably Penix Jr.'s got a better handle on everything Zach's asking him to do.
Yeah, that's the part about this. Like, the down-the-field connection on the big plays is great. We do need to stretch the field, but once we get down there, we can't get bogged down. We gotta find a way to put it in the end zone, and we have some big targets. That's the other part about this. Hey, man, we're having a good time out here. Come join us. Great drink specials as well here at Hooters, as we love being out here. We'll be back on Thursday.
Talk about what you're sipping on, by the way.
Oh, well, this is that tasty beverage, to quote
Pope Fiction. It is a tasty beverage.
Yeah, man, I told you, it's called the Summer Crush. It's got a Grey Goose. It's got strawberry puree, pineapple juice, lime, sour, and Red Bull. Yellow edition, by the way.
I was, you know, because Becky was asking, my wife's a big vodka
Katie,
person.
I see you over there. You said, wow, that sounds
get
good.
Some of that. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to make some of those this weekend for the wife, man.
It's good. Right. I can't front. Like, I literally held this up to the bartender because she knows. I was like, tapped on it, and she was like, no problem. But I had this the last time we were here. It's just refreshing.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the wives, does Michelle stay up with you when you watch TV at night? Or is she out?
Sometimes. But not only. Like, she's the – you know what it is? Turn the TV off. I've been asleep. Yes, you've been asleep, and you haven't realized that I've been having the TV on for the last hour.
Yeah, that's the thing. The old Billy Joel song, sleeping with the television on. Last night, same thing. We're outside. You know, I was nice enough to sit in the pool, and perfect night out there, and come inside. And I go, what do you want to watch? He's like, I don't want to watch that. I go, you're going to be asleep in a minute.
We do that.
Can I watch some Netflix? Well, I don't know. What do you want to watch? I go, I don't know. There's something on World War II I can watch. I'll find something. So sure enough, I start flipping around, and she's out. And
gone.
So, like, I mean, she's on the couch like two out of five nights of the week. Night, she's out.
This, Mike, it happens. To your point, it does happen. Here's the thing. Last night, I'm watching Air Disasters. Okay,
right.
Hate me if you want to.
I'm gonna guess it was human error.
Of course it was. I'm curious. I'm fascinated.
Right.
She's doing whatever she's doing. Finally gets into the bed. I'm 40 minutes into this show. I want to see the finale.
Yes.
I want to see how they figured this out.
Right.
I want to see what this pilot did and how he screwed it up. And I'm sitting there, and I'm totally immersed. Are you going to put something on that everybody can watch? Really? I'm 40 minutes into this.
You've got – you know what? I'm sorry. I'm vested.
I'm vested.
Right.
And then I said exactly what you told Becky. You will be asleep in about 3 minutes.
Right.
Let me finish this show. I want to see something that – I said, fine.
Oh.
Fine.
Yeah, it's just been a thing of late where it's just like, you know, and then Ike is all conflicted. The dog's like, do I slay on the couch? Do I go to the bedroom with me? You know, usually he kind of, he gets half and half.
I was one of these kids, by the way, because I had a small, I mean like a small, I mean, well, it was probably like a 13-inch TV.
Right.
In my room. And I had to go to sleep with it on because my parents allowed me to be able to have a TV in my room.
Right, right.
But it wasn't until I was a teenager. Like, it wasn't like when I was seven. Yeah. But like once I became like 13, my dad's like, you're gonna have one in there. And I remember like having the TV on and going to bed and then waking up in the morning and being like, and the TV was still on. So I am one of these creatures, like I've always needed that to kind of help me put this
little background noise.
Yeah, and my wife's completely opposite. I read a book, the entire book before I went to sleep. That's you.
And for you kids out there, just so you know, Carl and I both grew up hard. I had a console TV, Carl, but it was black and white.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, when Nana and Grandpa moved down to Florida, I got the old Magnavox. So I played my Atari on a black and white.
Yeah.
Much to the bemusement and chagrin of my friends.
Y'all are laughing. I'm serious. I want to say the TV couldn't have been no bigger. It could not have been any bigger than, day-day, 20 inches? Maybe? I don't know. Maybe, because it sounds like 13 inches doesn't sound big, but they weren't big back then.
No, no. And it was funny, because then I was like Jeff Foxworthy's kid. Then later, when we got a color TV, it went on top of the giant, big black and white console.
Because you needed somewhere to put it.
Right on.
Hey, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're hanging out at Hooters, should I say. We're going to be at Buffalo's Cafe next week. We'll tell you about that, because we're going to be here Thursday, and then a couple days next week, and then we're at Buffalo's Cafe. So we're hanging out up here in the Buford area, man. For Falcons training camp. Coming up, Leonard Floyd. Find out what he had to say and who talks a lot of noise. You might be surprised about what he had to say. Right now, though, Big O, let's get to 4th and 1. Fourth and One brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Around the NFL, Cowboys, we're not talking about Micah Parsons, but Tyler Guyton suffered a bone fracture. He's likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks, Mike. They thought it was more than this. He's not going to need surgery. They thought it was an ACL tear, but this is one of their big offensive linemen that they are counting a lot on. You want to talk about protecting Dak Prescott in that run game? This guy's going to be a big part of it.
They've had a big offensive line. One of the areas with, you know, of all the things Jerry Jones has screwed up in Dallas, he's gotten the defensive line and the offensive line right. But some guys have stepped away, retirements, now another injury. So something that maybe they'll be looking at the waiver wire to maybe bolster the depth there. Meanwhile, you got Jimmy Haslam. We mentioned it earlier up in Cleveland. Apparently, in front of the media, he decided to let it all hang out. Basically saying that all you guys that are waiting on us to get Arch Manning, there's no way of knowing, and he's going to stay in college, as Carl pointed out, for at least another year. It's going to be 2 years of him as a starter in Texas, which probably with the Mannings, whether it's his uncle or his dad, would say is the best way to prepare yourself for the NFL. But he wasn't finished. Then he was asked about why you drafted Shedeur Sanders. He goes, hey, man. He goes, don't look at me. It's my general manager. He says, Barry did that. Yeah, he has autonomy to do what he does. So basically, Jimmy Haslam, if not disavowing, basically saying, hey, picking Shedeur Sanders, that was all on my front office. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and Shedeur, by the way, Deion Sanders, remember he was speaking yesterday about his battle with cancer. He says he's fine, he's past it, and he lost weight. But he was asked about why didn't he go to Browns camp. And he said Shedeur told me he didn't want him to come.
Didn't want to be the distraction.
And it's great. For everybody that thinks Deion is this guy that's just going to bombard everything and – he understands that his son's got to find this and make his own way. And so when he said, my son told me not to come, I'm only going to get probably 3 or 4 snaps at practice, Dad. There's no reason for you to be there. But I think it's good. Deion understands, man, he lived this. He knows what it's like. And look, if Shedeur's good enough, Mike, he's going to get a shot, whether it's in Cleveland or somewhere else at some point. And maybe it works out for him. But I think that was the right move, because if he does that, it completely takes away from Shedeur trying to make this team and be the starter.
A couple Falcon fans have asked this because he is a name, but I don't think we've got the cap space, and I think we're okay where we are right now. Interior line, a guy that a couple years ago I wanted him to draft, that's Christian Wilkins, who's right now kind of a man without a team. He allegedly playfully kissed a teammate on the top of his head in a meeting, which apparently drew a couple guys right at the bar shaking their heads right now, Carl, as we tell this story. That's a no. Pete Carroll was asked about it because he's no longer on the team. He says, I have no comment to make. We made a decision on what we're doing, and we're moving with it. We'll see how that all unveils itself in time. Because, again, they're saying he didn't follow the protocols for his rehab after having his foot surgery. Then on top of that, there's an incident where, whatever it was, playful or not, a teammate made an HR beef on it.
Yeah, look, how well do you have to know a dude to kiss him on top of his forehead? No, I'm being serious. Like, you don't even do that with your boys, do you?
No.
You might dap him up. You might have some fun. But I don't even do that with my closest friends. And even if we were in a locker room situation to be playing around like that, I don't know. There's just a line that you cross. But obviously, Christian thought he could do it because he wouldn't have done it. And then this is the response he gets. But, Mike, there has to be more to this. Obviously, it's the rehab and all the other stuff. But this just added on to, I think, a reason. Guys, in the NFL, if they want to move on from you, they move on from you. And if it entails them losing money, which they're going to have to pay some of this money back. They're not getting all of this guaranteed
money. I do get a kick out of this because it's funny. You read Pro Football Talk and what story gets outraged, what story doesn't. You got Florio and his guys going, what player would make a beef over that? I'm like, wait, meanwhile, if Florio doesn't like the team, he'll make a big federal case out of next to nothing, like us, right?
Yes.
So anyway, he's just talking about this, what kind of player? Well, again, maybe a guy who's like being kissed on the top of his head. I mean, I think the closest I would come to that is, you know, if we're all on vacation and Drunk Larry passes out on the couch, you pat him on his head. Oh, he's so cute at this age.
Yes.
You make a joke, but this guy didn't really vibe it, so there you go. It just seems to me like the Raiders did release that to kind of add a little fuel to the fire why they're moving on from Wilkins.
Ah, crazy stuff. Hey, as we talk about Leonard Floyd, who's going to be on here in just a sec, less than 5 minutes, stay tuned for our interview with Leonard Floyd, who made his way back to Georgia. He is a Georgia boy, and all the things he had to say about where the Falcons are, where this defense is. We do want to mention this. We'll dive more into it in Guy Talk, but the shooting suspect yesterday who was killed, who went into a Midtown Manhattan office building, which happens to be the same location as NFL headquarters, just, Mike, the footage, this dude's walking in with a long gun, and nobody's even saying anything. Like, everybody's just walking by.
Double parks his car right there on Park Avenue. And again, as I said to Carl, everybody in New York's just so aloof, they're not paying attention, they think they're making a movie. It's mind-blowing. And just the vagaries of this situation. If he gets in the wrong elevator, so basically you get people in another office lose their lives because this guy who basically blaming this on CTE, who never played pro football, from all records, never played beyond high school football, drives all the way cross country from Las Vegas. And I said to Carl, you want to blame the NFL for CTE, you don't have to take other people's lives out. I'm sorry. Call me. No, I'm sick and tired of being PC about mental health, but this stuff just gets crazy. And he had a concealed permit in the state of Nevada too.
Yeah. Well, it's tragic, and I'm sure security will be amped up around the NFL offices. Is it a one-off? Yeah, you could say that.
I wonder what kind of security they've got in the NFL because they do have a lot of ex-law enforcement that work for them.
No doubt about it. Hey, man, more on that coming up a little bit later. When we come back, though, Leonard Floyd stopped by Dukes and Bell, hear what he had to say about the pass rush, his journey, and more coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell live with our man Flo. That is Leonard Floyd. Guys, welcome back to the crib, man. Welcome back home. How's it feel?
It feels great to be back home, man. It's hot, which is expected in Georgia, but I love it. I love it.
South Georgia boy, for those who don't know about Leonard Floyd, who played his college ball in Georgia. Anything different about this camp than your other camps around the NFL as far as energy, coach's message, anything else?
The energy. I feel the energy a lot from offense and from defense. There's a lot of young guys, and I can tell we hungry, and I can tell we got somewhere to go. And every day we're coming out on a mission, we're practicing hard, and trying to get ready for game one.
Yeah, speaking of the young guys, man, I was talking about this, Flo, with our audience about having a veteran presence like yourself. You know, James Pierce, obviously, Walker, all these guys trying to learn and pick up stuff from you. But you've been there. You know what that's like. What's it like now being in the other role of you're the teacher?
It's kind of different, man, because I never expected myself to be in this role. But I'm embracing it. I love my young guys. They come out and work hard every day. It's about showing them how to be a pro, teaching them how to be a pro.
Carl, basically saying Leonard Floyd is an OG with us here on Dukes and Bell today. Anyway, what was the reason you signed here? You had options, man. What made you want Atlanta?
Atlanta. It's home. It's the red, black, and the white. It reminds me of my time at Georgia. And if you got the opportunity to play for your home state, you might as well do it, and I took it.
So as we talk about this defense, how much different is it from what you were doing in L.A. and the nuances of it and what Jeff Ulbrich's asking you guys to do?
The difference is the expectation. The expectation was a little higher in L.A., and I feel like here we on our way up. It's like we getting slept on, so it's on us to wait the city up this year.
And you work with Raheem Morris with the Rams. So what do you like about Coach?
Oh, I love Raheem. He's a coach. He's a coach's coach, and he's a player's player. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the overall cool guy, and he knows how to show up and put in that work, but also have fun.
I spoke with Dez. As a matter of fact, he's coming on the show tomorrow. Talk a little bit about guys he's trained. We're talking about the trainer for Flo and some other guys in the NFL. He was just talking about how you love pass rush, man, and, you know, you love to get after it. And talk about, like, that aspect of it, because the work you put in the offseason really does pay off. And I don't know if most people realize how much goes into that.
Oh, a lot goes in it. I've been working with Dez since I left Chicago, and I've been getting 9-10 sacks every year since I've been working with him. So I make sure I work with him every year. I stay in that gym with him, putting in my work, and then I come out here and build my calluses and get used to rushing against, you know, bigger guys. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's about now, getting used to rushing against linemen now.
He said the young guys have a hard time keeping up with you, though, in those workouts.
They don't. I'm an old man.
Come on now.
I'll be moving. I'm an old man, but I make them keep up for sure.
Carl asked you about, you know, taking that role as a mentor. Was that even brought up when they brought you? Or did your job is get the quarterback and even teach the young guys something that's a bonus?
Kind of a bonus. I didn't expect it, but I'm embracing it every day, and I'm taking it on strong with, so we can help each other win rushes and win games.
And what's, like, your workload going to be, man? How much can we expect to see out there?
Depends.
Come on, Flo.
If I'm hot, you'll see me out there a lot, you know. But, yeah, I plan on being hot early. It's about putting in my work and just showing up game one.
Leonard Floyd joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Guys, training camp continues. What's your favorite pass move, man? What do you go? What's the go-to? It's third and long. What am I going to see?
Sack. Just, I ain't gonna give you the move because these linemen be listening.
Oh, they be listening.
Yeah, they be listening.
They be cheating.
Yeah, they be cheating. I ain't gonna give away the sauce. But sack.
Okay. You, so power, all that stuff.
Sack, man.
Okay.
Sack.
All right. I tried, Mike.
Leonard Floyd, a Georgia boy. Jalen Walker's a Georgia boy. Pierce from Tennessee. What do you think of Pierce, by the way? First impressions of James Pierce Jr.
Oh, yeah, I love it. MF-er, you know what I'm saying? he's a cocky summer, you know what I'm saying? And I love it. I love that about him. And he makes me go that much harder just seeing him go out and show out and be himself. That makes me go harder.
Flo, is he a blank starter?
Is he a blank starter?
Yeah, like is he out there, like, letting, you know, talking a little noise? Is he that guy?
Yeah, he one of them. He one of them scrappy guys. And you need those guys on your D-line. That brings energy to the D-line, having a scrappy guy out there, and I love it.
What about Michael Penix, man, and your thoughts? Obviously, the excitement. You saw it over the weekend. Falcon fans excited about that. What's your impression, and what do you see every day out of the quarterback?
He a smooth criminal, man. He's smooth as silk. And he'll talk some too now. He will now. Don't let him fool you. He will talk a little bit.
He gets after, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll talk a little bit too now. I like that.
Leonard Floyd's a Super Bowl winner. What do you see about this team? I know you said on the way up. So, I mean, you think any goals in your mind about this team? Playoffs? We haven't been to playoffs in a long time here, man.
The goal is to start off hot, start the season off hot. We got, four games before our bye week? Start off hot, those four games, and let that carry us on for the rest of the season.
Man, we're excited to have you back in the A. Mm-hmm. Glad you back home, man, and wish you nothing but the best.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate y'all.
Good dude, man. We were excited about the pick because he's a consummate pro, as you said in the conversation, Carl. He's good for 8 or 9 sacks every year.
He is.
Guy's still carved out of wood. He's in great shape. I mean, he looks like he's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think you guys are surprised that he said our quarterback is not afraid to talk ish. And I will simply say, in a good way, like, this is the stuff that we've been telling you about his confidence level. Look, guys have fun with their teammates, but I also think that there's not going to be a team in this division, Carolina or the Saints or anybody, that may be trying to get in Michael Penix's head without him responding and saying something back to them. You know, Mike, you can do that when you're confident in your abilities. So I love it. I mean, like, listen, I said this. It's one thing to have confidence on defense. It's one thing to have a nasty offensive line. It's another thing to have great edge rushes. But your quarterback's out here talking ish too?
Well, that's why, you know.
That's great.
It's so funny, all the years that, you know, like, Mike Vick was a fan favorite, and we get it, and Matt Ryan came in. A tough situation. But it was so funny what year it was when Matt goes, now get off my effing field against Carolina. And people were like, oh my God, you know, it's almost like Leave It to Beaver, and the kid came home and dropped an MF or something at the dinner table. People are like, did Matt Ryan just say that? And like, and then subsequently, I think it was, what, 16 or 17, get blanking set.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, yes, you don't get to be an NFL quarterback by being a wallflower, okay? You got to have attitude and edge and confidence and be that alpha male and every other cliche about guys who perform at the top level. So, yeah, that's what Penix brings to the table. We saw him today as he was walking by. So I was like, what's up? I go, what's up, superstar? He's like, what's up, man? You know, he's funny. He's loose.
Yes.
The guys are playing off. It's a completely different vibe from Kirk Cousins, but it's his vibe.
It is his vibe. You also heard him say he loves that cocky SOB James Pierce.
James Pierce Jr. is a you know what we can call him? I'll start this right now, and we'll come up with other nicknames between now and the season. He's a fire starter. I mean, he is that dude. He's just getting people fired up, and he's got energy. And now, you know, when we talked about it, see, I'll go back to the draft. With all due respect to Terry and Raheem, they didn't really explain it. They just said the standard stuff. Well, you know, we met with him. We really like this young man. They didn't say there's some intangibles and there's some things about this. Maybe they couldn't quantify it, but I understand what they saw. You know,
fair.
If they couldn't explain it, you know, yeah, after the draft, I get it now.
Well, everybody kept saying turn the tape on, right? Sometimes
right,
that doesn't lie in regards to what you think of a guy as a person in these impersonal, you know, these in-person meetings.
Right.
Sometimes a tape, man, it just tells you everything you need to know. Remember, he led the SEC in pressures last year, and he was a producer. So I'm with you, Mike. Like, this looks, and I keep saying this because I got to wait till the season starts, but it's trending, man, in the right direction. And you got a veteran guy like Leonard Floyd saying, oh, I love the kid. I love this cocky blankety blank. That's what I want to hear. 404-726-0929. Say that again, Big O. I apologize. What'd you say? Oh, okay. Well, let's hear it. Raheem talking about James Pierce today. This is something we have not heard. Raheem spoke to the media today as we're talking about this conversation. Let's hear Raheem.
You know, it wasn't just even a part of practice. It wasn't just even a part of the people that are in the building. It was part of our draft. You know, we wanted to add a little edge to our football team. We want to add a little edge to our rush. You know, all the really great football players around that I've been around, they got edge. You know, they got a little bit of edge when you talk about rushing the passer. When you talk about some of these great passers that we talk about, whether it's Aaron Donald, whether you're talking about Vaughn Miller, whether you're talking about Warren Sapp, whether you're talking about Simeon Rice, any of these guys that rush the passer, they got a little bit of edge. And part of our whole draft, part of our whole philosophy, part of our practice, part of us becoming a team that we want to be and going out and actually doing some of these things is acquiring players with some natural edge. So that's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a part of what we want. It's definitely a part of who we are. And it's no different even with our offensive line. You got speed off the ball versus, you know, running through dark rooms. And there's going to be some violence and there's going to be a certain amount of physicality that's required to be a part of this football team.
I love it. I mean, Mike, the players he talked about, he coached a bunch of those guys. I think he coached all of them, to be honest with you.
Right.
But
Simeon Rice going back to his time in Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, yeah. The guys he mentioned were special. And you can have all the talent in the world, but in the NFL, if you don't have that other side, you're just another good player. And that's the difference between guys who get to go into the hall, Mike, or become elite guys, and guys that are just around for 10 years and they're really good players. Got to have that other side. So we had – how long have I been saying, Atlanta? We
yeah.
don't have enough killers on right. this team.
And we've tried, and we've misfired. You know, we've had guys we thought were going to be the edge, and they were just nothing but headaches. Rashid Hageman,
yep.
Tack McKinley, just unfortunately. You know, and last year with Matthew Judon, we thought we were getting that guy. Judon was washed.
He was washed.
You know, it just is what it is.
Coming up, yeah, man, no man, we're live at Hooters, guys, hanging out, Mall of Georgia location. It's Dukes and Bell. Come through. Monique and her sister came through. They said hello. We love them. Also,
Monique's going to take my tickets for a Lions game.
Oh, for the preseason
yeah,
game.
Yeah, her and her sister going to take her sister. Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for coming through. Blake and Katie came through. We want to see more of you guys. There's a bunch of guys sitting at the bar. We're not even hollering at it yet, but we're going to get to all of those guys. Come through and see us, man. Yeah,
Little
man, no
Cam
man.
Just walked in.
Well, I want to talk about him. Yeah, man, no man's coming up. Coming up, we'll talk some college football. Camp starts this week for the Georgia Bulldogs, and they hope to land another four-star defensive lineman. We'll tell you about that. Also, some other news coming out of college football that we'll get to. Also at 420, Matthew Bergeron, Mike, and we just heard Raheem Morris. That was a really interesting cut. And Big O, we're going to have to play that again a little bit later. If you missed our interview there with Leonard Floyd, we'll replay that a little bit later on in the show as well. But if you want to know, and this was the part that we were kind of like, okay, what kind of players are you bringing in here? What do you want? He just described what they're trying to build. Now, I don't know if we have it yet, but the more those kind of guys you get, especially up front, that's how you get good. Forget about the skill guys. That's how you get really good. And I thought that was really interesting from him. But coming up, Matthew Bergeron is one of those guys.
But Edge, you know, that's the thing. We joked around for guys who missed the start of the show. Oren queued up the old Mike Smith from Hard Knocks in 2014. They say the Falcons are soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull spit. And I'm paraphrasing.
That's what he said.
But that's
the
that's
Falcons
you can't.
Are soft. The Falcons aren't tough. Bull.
You can't look in the mirror and say, all of a sudden, now I'm a tough guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's just not the way it works. You were brought up, as we joke around, like, you know, Randy Mack always says, brought up hard, you know? But it depends, you know? You just got that mindset, that dog, that alpha thing. And we've got a bunch of those guys. You know, the question is, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have those guys. Do we have the right guys?
That's correct. That's exactly right. Hey, man, as we're talking about all this stuff, we were at practice today. More of our notes coming out of practice today, things we noticed and our takeaway, should I say, from today's workout. First day of full pads. We're back at it Thursday up here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. So if you don't get a chance to come by today before 6, come by on Thursday. We will talk about little Cam. Mike mentioned it. I'm joking with him because he's a big Carolina fan. But he is here.
And he literally looks like a miniature Cam Newton.
He does. He does. He is.
He doesn't wear the silly hats.
Well, yeah, because he can't. But because they cost a lot. That's why. But here's
but
the other
bitter.
Thing.
But I'm mad.
I know
yes,
you are.
Well, you are.
I know you are. But he says that the Carolina Panthers are going to win 10 games, and I think he's crazy.
How was you going to bet him?
Already did.
How much?
That's private.
All right.
It's a lot of money.
Egregious.
Yes, and I'm going to want it. And I'm going to want it when the season's over. Hey, man, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
Alrighty, guys, how's everybody doing today? It's a Tuesday edition of this thing. I don't know why it feels like a Wednesday, though, but...
Yeah?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, maybe because we skipped today. Monday, we were not at
You're
practice.
Saying it feels like a Wednesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I should be drinking more then. All right, let's get another round.
All right. as you all mentioned, man, shout out to those listeners, Monique and Madison. And Madison actually just graduated, as you guys saw. She had the Hebron Christian.
Right.
Were they state champs?
I think they were volleyball state champs. Yeah, I think it was
okay.
This past season.
Okay, because so, I saw that.
Yeah, so, but I bring all that to say, like, school's going to be starting here. Some kids are actually already in school, like, this week.
Yeah, that's crazy, by the way. I got to say it. I've lived in the South over half my life, Carl. It's too early. When'd you go back to school in Texas?
I will say that football traditionally was when football started,
right?
Which was September,
right.
Was when you went back to school. But I got to say this, like, and being here, and like Trent went to school in Cobb County, they're out like every other week.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you start early, it sounds crazy, but literally, like, they'll get a break in September.
Yep.
And then they get another break in October.
Yeah.
And then they get a break for Thanksgiving. Yep. And next thing you know, Mike, they've got like 6 weeks off before Christmas rolls around. So it feels weird that you start this early, but yeah, I don't know, man. I've kind of gotten used to it all these years being here now
and being
with her.
A parent. I know.
Well, that was going to be my yeah, man, no, man for you guys.
Well, shoot.
To your point, now to Carl's point, yes, they do get all these breaks that are unheard of, but yeah, man, no, man, they go back to school way too soon.
I mean, everybody's got their own individual experience, but growing up in the Northeast, we went basically to like the first week in June, and you almost had 3 full months of summer.
Mm-hmm.
You had basically almost all of June, July, August, and we went back the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I remember spending all my summers as a kid down. I worked down, in Florida, bus tables, and work sometimes as a bartender with my fake mustache. But, Carl, we'd always come back for the first day of football practice.
Labor Day weekend, right? Or after.
Be
after
about the 2 weeks
Tuesday.
Before Labor Day for practice.
Correct.
Right.
And that's what I was used to. I mean, after Labor Day, but, you know, I'm trying to remember, like, the first football game, at least high school football game. And I was just having this conversation with Day-Day because Corky Kale, the big kickoff event that we have here in Georgia, and it's amazing, and it's great that it still goes on. But that's in, like, 2 weeks. And my thing with this is, it's still going to be hot
yes,
like
yes.
this in 2 weeks. And it's not going to cool off. This is, I was having this conversation with a guy who was like, I don't understand. You think these kids should, you know, they shouldn't be giving these kids water. Remember we were having that conversation about kids being soft. And I said, no. But you're going to go through the first month of the season. We're still going to be hot. It's going to be hot September 15th, guys.
Yeah, they'll have mandatory water breaks during those games. Those first 4 weeks, in addition to timeouts,
yes,
ref officials will have the power to say, boom,
go get
break,
some.
Everybody go get some water.
Yeah,
so this is during the game.
Yeah, but I'm with Mike. I just feel like to me, fall starts when kids go back to school, and if you start now, it doesn't feel like fall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. In 2015, ESPN decided to promote Jay Billis and move on from Dick Vitale on the call for the UNC Duke games, right? And it was reported that he was deeply hurt by this move. Obviously, a longtime fixture in basketball, associated with so many particular calls, especially when it comes down to the UNC Duke.
That was his bread and butter for so many years.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, no, man. ESPN should put Vitale, who just signed a new deal that'll keep him under contract through 27-28 season, back to the UNC Duke game, at least one of them, because they do it twice.
Yeah, why not, Carl?
Yeah. Look,
for old time's sake.
Correct. Yeah, and Vitale, listen, he's gone through some very serious health issues and fought back. I don't think he's maybe as appreciated now as he once was, because he was the face and the voice, right, of ESPN college basketball, and always kind of just, you know, he always helped elevate the game when talking about college basketball. But I also think ESPN realizes, look, he may be under contract, and they did that. You know, they did. Berman's got a lifetime contract. Every now and then you'll see Chris Berman come back.
Yeah, Dick's 86, so they got another 2 years. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, It's a nice gesture. It's kind of a gold watch type contract.
But it's come. Yeah. I mean, like at some point they know that they're going to turn the page, and Jay Billis has been doing a great job, and so they realize where that's going. But if you told me he sits in on one of those games, maybe he's not the prime color guy, that's fine. Because
diaper dandy.
Yeah,
and all that stuff.
Yes,
yeah, you know.
At some point, yeah. He's a PTP.
Right.
All that stuff.
No, I mean, like everything else, it was fun. It was so much fun back in the day.
It was. No, yeah, it really was. He had his own lingo, for those who don't remember Dick Vitale in his prime, and it enhanced college basketball. Yeah. Everybody who had a big game wanted Dick Vitale on the call, right? But I think he can sit in on one. I don't necessarily know if it's a bad move to move on from him.
And
to Jay
Billis. Like, if you want to draw comparisons with Lee Corso, I think Dick, because he's been out of the public eye with all his cancer battles and things he's been dealing with, I still think, you know, you see him on social media, he can still put a sentence together and do his thing. No disrespect to Lee and, you know, Dan is his son, but I think he could probably pull off a one-off of one of those games.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny, because when I was reading this, I was thinking about it, and I was just thinking to myself, like, it just seems like I felt like there was a period where college basketball and Dick Vitale, they were game day before game day.
True.
You know what
I
mean? Like,
yes.
So I feel like that was like the blueprint. Right. So, all right, moving on.
Nobody does a better job than Mike Krzyzewski building these young men. Yeah, but the thing with, my only thing with Dickie V is
he loved him.
There's never a criticism.
Yeah.
There's never, ever, everything is just all, and it's his guys, and that's cool. Yeah. He's earned that, right? But, you know, Calipari, Carl and I used to argue about, you know, his lack of a half-court offensibility, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but he praises the game. He built up the game.
He does so much for these kids.
Boy, he's in the Hall of Fame.
All right, moving on. Former Brave, Whit Merrifield.
Who?
Here we go.
We're going to do bum.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
I didn't say that.
You know how it goes.
So he was recently on a podcast, and I'm trying to figure out the podcast, but there's a video out here. You can just Google this thing. So he sat down with these hosts and said that when he was a member with the Braves, there was a night in which, first he says there's a pitcher. He didn't want to name the pitcher because he was like, he doesn't think they'd like him
for
that.
Well, too late, because now everyone's
going to go right.
No,
so
no.
He says this particular pitcher before every start would like to take a shot and bring the guys together, some of the guys together, and they take a shot. One particular night, Usher was there.
Okay.
It was an Usher night. Usher threw out the first pitch, and Usher took a shot with them. So, of course, like you said, everyone hits the internet. When was their Usher night? When did Usher throw out the first pitch? And guess who was the starting pitcher that night? Chris Sale. Yeah, man, no, man. Chris Sale's got the guys throwing him back in the clubhouse.
Hey, now, for what it's worth, now, I don't know about a shot of booze, but Arnold Schwarzenegger would drink champagne, Carl, backstage before he would compete, get the blood flowing, help with the vascularity. That was his thing. He talked about it in Pumping Iron. But, yeah, you put it out there, man. Come on. Some little journeyman like Whit Merrifield drops a dime. The Chris Sale. Do we know if it's brown liquor? I mean,
no, it doesn't get into that.
It's hard to imagine, Carl. The guy's going, everybody get together. Let's do some kamikazes. You know, the kind of figure they could do a shot of, you know, Jim Beam or Crown or Jack or whatever. Or maybe it's Fireball. You know, playing some Pitbull.
Yes.
I don't know. But, I mean, to get loose, to have a little fun. I mean, I'm sure there's some major leaguers. The old school guys would have no problem with that. But nowadays, it's probably people going tisk, tisk over
something. That's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. Come on, Snit. The Red Sox talked about doing this in their 04 comeback against the Yankees.
When they
were so tight, and they're down 03. You guys know they come back and beat the Yankees four straight in 04. And they talked about doing this. Like, it started, and then they were like, we got to do it every game.
Right.
We got to do it. I have no issues with it. I don't know if it was Chris Sale, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. And I'm not saying like Chris Sale's an alcoholic. Okay?
Right.
He's just a guy that wouldn't give a damn about what people think.
Yeah.
And he would be more willing, I think, than some of the younger guys. Think about our pitching staff. Who else would it be? A.J. Smith-Shawver? Hurt. Oh, sorry. That's the wrong conversation.
Right.
Who else would it be, though? Seriously, you start looking at our staff. Strider's not that dude. Love him. He's not doing that.
Strider's so wrapped so tight.
He's not
doing
that.
I think he would think that one shot to throw him off.
Yes.
Yeah.
That 5% he needs.
And all these other guys, Mike, I mean, they literally are battling jobs. Chris Sale's like, yo, got mine.
Now, ironically.
Cy Young, what y'all want
to
do?
Now, ironically, Bryce Elder drives all of us to drink. If it was Bryce Elder taking the shot. But
that's true. I'm going to go with Chris Sale, man. Yeah. But I love it. I wish we were winning more, and I wish this was more of a bigger deal. But unfortunately, it's not. It's one of those sidebars.
Usher threw out the first pitch.
That's unacceptable.
Please, shut up, Snicker. Go yell at Michael Harris for lollygagging.
Are you serious? He did that?
Yeah, you got to. Nobody watched. I think I'm the only guy that watched the game last night. You got to go see this.
That might be true, Mike.
Ground ball up the middle, and the guy
winds
up.
Happy Gilmore.
Guy winds up at second base. Usher threw out the first pitch on September 14th. Witt started at second base, batted ninth. Sale pitched a 6 innings of 1-run ball to earn the win.
It was Sale, bro. I'm telling you, it had to be Sale.
If you take it back to the Usher story, that's the day Usher was in the clubhouse.
Okay. That was his day. That was the Usher day when they came out with all that Usher hat stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right, guys.
Chris Sale can get his load on and then deliver amazing pitching. That is great. I think every Braves pitcher should do shot.
I agree.
That's your year, man. No man for a Tuesday.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with getting loose before the job. How many of you guys, seriously, how many of you guys have a drink? You see little Cam look at me? I was about to say, how many guys have a drink before their day starts?
Well, let's see. We've got two pilots from Spirit Airlines. That guy's a thoracic heart surgeon. Okay, so apparently a lot of guys. Like to have a pop before they get into the
airport. I'm just saying, before you get your day started, there's a lot of cats out here that just get loose.
I do know the people that work the front gate at Spirit, they're definitely taking a shot with what they're dealing with.
And they just charge you $25. Right. Hey, turn that up. Shots. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. We're coming back. We'll talk some college football. On the way, guys, you'll hear from Matthew Bergeron as well. Andy and Randy had him on today live at camp. It's Dukes and Bell.